Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday night, and you know what that means. It's time for the four-time, and I do say again, the four-time, award-winning, politically direct, and I am New Jersey's premier journalist and the sworn enemy of all the local liberals, toxic progressives, social justice clowns, and woke fools throughout the state of New Jersey. Fernando Uribe. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all again for joining us here on the 14th of October. Yes, we're moving right along. Election Day is less than 3 weeks away, and certainly we'll keep interviewing candidates and incumbents alike leading up to Tuesday, November the 2nd. And of course, I want to thank you all for joining in for more ever and however you may be doing so throughout the Garden State, and to all my friends throughout the good old U.S. of A. Now, you can write to the show's inbox, ladies and gentlemen, which is politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. If you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic, I'd love to hear from you. Write to the show, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, at Professor Fernando Uribe. That's U-R-I-B-E. And, of course, also follow me on Twitter, at NoFilterUribe, U-R-I-B-E. And certainly for all you Facebook subscribers, take a moment, like the page for Politically Direct with Fernando Uribe. And, of course, share it and make sure that your friends do the same. Now, folks, I'll be taking some calls later in the show. I'd love to hear from you tonight. Toll-free number, as always, is 818-572-8032. Once again, our toll-free number tonight, 818-572-8032. And our toll-free number is brought to you by Insider and Jay. Ladies and gentlemen, Insider and Jay continues to be the source for your political news, not just during election season, but all year round. You can kindly go to www.insidernj.com. Once you click on the website, you'll see the subscribe button on the upper right-hand corner. Double-click on that, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the morning intelligence briefing. So while you're maybe walking your dog in the morning, making coffee, making, let's say, sandwiches for the kids right before they go to the school bus, whatever it is you're doing, folks, most likely you're on your smartphone or you have your tablet or your PC or Mac nearby. And, of course, you're checking your email. And once you do, you'll see the morning intelligence briefing waiting right there for you. And without a doubt, folks, it's the best coverage of what's going on during this election season. Certainly the gubernatorial race is heating up. Legislative races are heating up. And even local municipal races. Up here where I live in Hudson County, big municipal races in Jersey City for not just the mayoral seat, but the city council, and also city council races in the city of Hoboken. So, folks, not just Hudson County, I'm sure municipal races are going on all throughout the state. And, of course, Insider NJ covers that better than anybody. So, once again, make sure you go to www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to like Insider NJ on Facebook and also follow it Twitter. I can't say enough, folks. I'm so proud to be a part of the Insider NJ team. It all starts with the Graham family, you know, Mike and Ryan Graham collectively, for their support of the podcast since its premiere in January of 2018. And without a doubt, even my Insider GM, Pete Onelia, who I'm sure gets a lot of grief about what I say on the air and some of my comments. But, folks, you know, if you listen to this show long enough, you know that I come with the facts. And facts sometimes are very inconvenient to people. especially on the left here in the state of New Jersey. But it didn't stop me. I keep moving along. And, folks, it's one of the things I take pride in is being probably one of the few journalists in the state that likes to interview candidates, that is a good interviewer, and that asks the questions I think regular everyday New Jerseyans have on their minds. You know, if you're expecting quality journalism, folks, from, let's say, I don't know, NJTV and Uncle Dave, I mean, the clown can't even read from 6 inches away from his face. If you noticed that on the debate on Tuesday, it was embarrassing. I mean, Jesus Christ, get this man an optometrist, for the love of God. You know, you can't put your paper down and read a question from a distance? My God. Or even, you know, or little Tommy boy, you know, up there, the Star Ledger, Tom Moran, another useless journalist in New Jersey. And, folks, that's what is permeating right now. And I'm just here to tell you tonight, as I do every week, that I'm here for you, my loyal listening audience. I'm here not just as an opinion journalist, but a guy that wants to get to the heart of the matter about what's on the minds of New Jersey residents. And that's why this podcast, never mind the awards, speak for themselves. It's about the quality of the guests, and it's about asking the questions that matter most to you during this election season. Hey, hotly contested gubernatorial race in less than 19 days. Every legislative seat is up for grabs, all 40 in the state Senate and all 80 in the state assembly. We'll see what the makeup is of the state legislature once they take office or resume, right, sessions in January. So, again, folks, as we're covering it, nobody does it better than Insider NJ. I'm proud to be a part of the team. I'm not a fan of a lot of my teammates. You know, I'm not a big fan of Max Pizarro, not a fan of Jay Lasseter. Good writers, but their political IQ is really bad. But you know what? I love Fred Snowflack. He'll be joining me later this month here on the show, as well as Alan Steinberg, great writer. We don't agree on anything, but he's a great writer. He's a great guest to have on also, and he's a regular here on the podcast as well. So, folks, check it out, www.insidernj.com. Also, www.insidernj.com/podcast is where you can listen to all the recent episodes of Politically Direct. You can download them and listen to them anywhere, anytime, from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. Once again, folks, don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. Now, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, the opinions and views expressed here tonight by me are mine and mine alone. They do not represent those of Insider NJ, the management, the staff, or our sponsors. Folks, it's 9:07 here on the East Coast on Blog Talk Radio. Speaking of assembly seats up for grabs, down in the 15th Legislative District down in New Jersey, you know, a little bit central Jersey, a little bit of a drive for me, but hey, it's a hotly contested district. And tonight, joining me here exclusively, folks, a wonderful woman running for one of the assembly seats in LD District 15. Once again, down in central Jersey, folks, she is Patricia Johnson, and she joins me here tonight exclusively on Politically Direct. How are you, Ms. Johnson?
Fine. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How's campaigning going? How's, 19 days out? How are you feeling?
It's a lot of work, but it's worth it in the end. I'm sure I'm up for a battle, but I'm ready for it.
All right. I like that attitude. And folks, for those of you who are not familiar with the 15th Legislative District, it is one of the 40 districts in the State Assembly, as well as the state legislature overall. Now, it covers the following municipalities, ladies and gentlemen. In Hunterdon County, it includes East Amwell Township, Lambertville City, and West Amwell Township. And within Mercer County, it includes the municipalities of Ewing Township, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's right by the College of New Jersey, Hopewell Borough, Hopewell Township, Lawrence Township, Kennington Borough, Trenton City, and West Windsor Township. So a lot of towns, ladies and gentlemen, in those two counties in the 15th Legislative District. Again, our guest tonight, Patricia Johnson, looking to win one of those seats coming up on November the 2nd. And folks, if you have a chance, check out her website, www.patjohnson4nj.com. That's www.patjohnson4nj.com. Pat, looking at your bio here, you're an entrepreneur. You're a successful small business owner, a successful businesswoman. And when people look at your website, Pat, they see someone who wants to bring transparency back to politics in Trenton. And I got to tell you, that has to be refreshing to so many people when you're knocking on doors.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that you left out that I would really like to express is that I'm a nurse. And I've never been in politics. I made the decision to run because what our country is in right now, and that's turmoil. There's question after question from both sides the spectrum. And I saw a need to have somebody first and foremost on the legislative floor that is in the medical field to help through some of the decisions that are being made from people that have no clue what they're talking about. And so I was asked twice to run, and I said no, and then I decided that I had prayed, actually, and I made the decision that it was for me, and I was going to do it, and I haven't looked back. And I feel it's really important, and I realized that so many things that were needed in nursing were also needed in politics. And that's that when you're a nurse, you need to be principled, because you need sometimes to fight against the hospital or a doctor for your patient, because sometimes you need to be the one that is the only one that can fight for what they need. And you need to be accessible to your patient. You need to be there. Sometimes when you get off, you can't go home. You have to stay there and work through something that they're going through, whether it be a test, whether it's that they're struggling with what is going on with them. You need to stay longer than the end of your shift. And the most important of all is that you need to be transparent with your person. You need to be able to tell them when they're getting chemo or radiation that the radiation and chemo that them can also kill them. So I learned really through nursing the same things that I needed with them, I realized needed to be used in politics as well. Our people anymore just don't trust anybody. So we need to be transparent with them, give them the opportunity to know that there's somebody there fighting for them all the time, and be accessible to them that when they need us or they need to call us that we're there, we can pick up a phone or we can call them back. And they need to know we're principled and that we're going to be honest and forefront with them. So they're the things that that I see that I can help with. I feel that I'm a person that's for the people. That's what I've grown to believe. So, that's who I am.
Well, I have to tell you, Patricia, that's really noble. And again, thank you for your service in the medical field. This last 19 months has been a challenge, as you just alluded to nurses, doctors, everyone working in hospitals. So again, my heart goes out to you. You are braver than me for sure, and I have to just again commend you on your dedication and work for sure. So nice job there. Patricia, I'm looking at some of the registration numbers here, and I know that the census data is just coming back. They have not gone through redistricting, so we'll see what impact that has, if any, on not just your district, but again collectively all the 40 legislative districts in the state. So we'll see. But right now, looking at some numbers here, it's predominantly in terms of registration. We're looking at 49% of registered voters are Democrats in the 15th legislative district. Only 13% are Republicans. But like a lot of counties, 36% are unaffiliated independents like myself. I mean, I think we know that in New Jersey, Democrats in different counties seem to have a stranglehold on districts and county machines, of course, as they say. The Democratic apparatus has been strong for 20 years. And Patricia, I keep saying this all the time. I'm the only journalist in New Jersey that consistently, talks about the fact that, and where I live up here in Hudson County, I mean, my state senator and my state assemblymen and women, I mean, they're not crazy left Democrats. They're moderate Democrats. They believe in fiscal responsibility to an extent. But I think what we're seeing in Trenton, again, it's a reflection of 20 years of Democrats having majorities, super majorities in the legislature. And in that time, we keep seeing property taxes become the highest in the country. The state budget continues to get fatter than a child in a bakery. We're seeing unnecessary spending, ridiculous bills to appease either climate hysterics or the social justice clowns. I'm tired of it, and I know many in New Jersey are as well. Is that kind of the message that maybe you're trying to resonate or have resonate in the district? It seems like the incumbents are like these lifelong career politicians that have been there forever and aren't doing anything. That's the perception I get. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. First and foremost, in legislature, it's been 28 years since we've had a Republican in. So it's a long time, and it's a battle. But I believe this is the year that we can do it because we see frustration on both sides of the parties. I've talked to many, many Democrats that this year have made the decision to change. I've gotten them to change while I walked from door to door. So I know it's happening. I think that there's people searching this year, and it's time. Nothing has changed, and if it hasn't changed till now, what makes anybody think that it's going to change unless we do something to make that happen? And maybe it's bringing in new people, new ideas, and in a new government way. It's obvious that we're the number one state for the highest taxes. We are the number one state for the people leaving New Jersey. We are the number one state for college students leaving to go to college and not coming back because there's nothing to come back to. We need to change that. If we want to bring New Jersey back onto the map, we need to change what we're doing. And that means, yes, we need infrastructure. But if we want infrastructure, we need to have labor. That means we need to bring labor back into our workforce, and that's through our children. We have taken labor out of us, and when I say labor out of our schools, we used to have shop, and we used to have mechanics, and we used to have air conditioning and cooking and all kinds of classes within our high schools to teach kids that they had other avenues to go other than college. And now we don't have any of that. We need to bring it back to our children so our children can see that there's other avenues for them to make money and to make a living, and we need them to do that so that we can work on the infrastructure that we all realize we need done in New Jersey. So that's one of the areas that I want to touch on. Our elderly need to be protected. We have elderly that can no longer live here. They're in fearful of not having a home to go to. They're being forced to do reverse mortgages, and that's something that they worked their entire life for. And so I definitely want to work with keeping our elderly here, which means working with the tax base for our elderly. We know our taxes are an issue, and I believe Jack is the person to help with that. He knows how he wants to do it. He wants to He wants to do outside audits. And that's the way of finding out where the money's going. Everybody always says they want to lower taxes, but how are they going to do it if they don't understand where the money's going to? He wants to find a way to find out where the money's going so he can determine where it's going to go. And I want to support what he wants to do. I want to be on the floor. I want to be able to help with that. I understand it. So the taxes, of course, are an issue. We have multiple areas that we need to go into. And I believe that I can help on that floor to do that.
Well, Patricia, I'm with you on that. And I've interviewed legislative candidates for weeks now. And I've asked others, I'm like, listen, should you be able to win on November 2nd? Obviously, take office in January. You know, what's wrong with asking for an audit of every 8 statewide agency? I mean, listen, I worked in state government before entering academia, so I know firsthand how wasteful government can be. So I think it's refreshing to hear that you're on board with that when it comes to state agencies. I mean, again, we keep seeing, you know, different departments hiring, and I get it. Sometimes some of these positions are patronage positions or political appointments. They're not always civil service, but again, it just grows the size of government in Trenton. You're increasing payrolls. You're having to put more people on health insurance plans, pension plans. And it just, I get it. You know, people work on campaigns and some people get rewarded, but there has to be a limit to what's going on in Trenton. And I would argue that as you just made a reference to, an audit would be the fair thing to do to find out where the waste is most prevalent. And I'm all for that. So, you know, cheers to you for being one of those voices that wants to champion that should you take office in January. Patricia, let's switch gears here for a minute. We'll get back to your campaign, but I know you've referenced former Assemblyman and Republican challenger Jack Chiarelli here. Not sure if you had a chance. I know you are campaigning. I know you're knocking on doors. Not sure if you had a chance to sit down on Tuesday night and watch the second debate that he had with Governor Murphy. You know, I've been a little harsh on Jack this year. I mean, he's a gentleman. He's come on this show multiple times. I know I can call Jack. We're friends, so I know there's no animosity there. But I kind of look at not so much Jack, but I think his campaign team have – I think they've dropped the ball early in the campaign. I think they're getting hot right now. They're trying to, you know, it's a stretch run. But it's just, for whatever reason, Jack has just had a lot of bad luck in trying to convey the message, whether it was about the nursing home deaths concerning Governor Murphy, whether it was sort of the very lethargic pace that reforms were done at the Edna Mahan Women's Prison down in South Jersey, whether it was the COVID mandates, whether it's about another inflated budget. Again, I know Jack's trying, you know, and just to sort of – I'm a big sports fan, so I'll sort of use this analogy. You know, come November 2nd, I mean, I give Jack a puncher's chance, but I don't know if the jabs he's been throwing at the governor have been sticking. How do you see this race?
I think he did well this week in the debate. I watched the entire debate. He stayed professional. He stayed calm. He was not sweating. He was not biting his lip. He knew what he wanted to address, and I feel that he did address that. I think he, personally, I would have loved him to see him attack going on with Murphy. We have a situation where the VA is now, he's under investigation. We need to, because of the deaths that occurred in the veteran hospitals with the elderly, Jack will fight the battles. He knows the battles. He's a gentleman. And perhaps maybe he's not fighting in the way you've seen others fight in the past, but I think he holds his own and he does well. I think he knows what he wants to do. He has stayed true to himself.
Patricia, you raised great points. And I agree with you. I think he did much better Tuesday night. I think it was a much better performance for him. He knew he had to come out of the gate swinging more, and he did. He nailed the governor on some things. You know, again, Governor Murphy just has to sort of shoot par for all you golf fans out there. And I think that's what he did. I don't think the governor kind of moved the needle too much. Whoever's going to vote for the governor is going to vote for the governor.
Murphy got booed off the stage, and he deserved to get booed. He did.
I hear you.
I really think this time – he did a great job.
Listen, I'm with you. I think Chiarelli did a much better job. I think he went to town on the governor on certain things that the governor has been a little wishy-washy on. But like anything else, and we've learned this from recent campaigns, when a Republican has won in New Jersey, back 12 years ago when and forget about what we think about Chris Christie today, but in 2009, Chris Christie knew he had to galvanize Republicans and get independents to come out in big numbers to vote for him. And, of course, his job was a little easier because Corzine was probably arguably the worst governor in the history of the state. And even then, you know, the registration advantages were still leaning Democrat, but they weren't that high. I think it was maybe like a 400,000 advantage that Democrats had in terms of registration. That's not the case anymore. Now it's like 1.5 million. And, you know, Christie took it to him. And again, he was able to galvanize independents, and that's why he won. When we saw 4 years ago, you know, Lieutenant Governor Codano had the disadvantage that, A, there was Christie fatigue. A lot of independents stayed home, and Phil Murphy only won by 300,000 votes. And guess what? You know, if 3.5 million people don't stay home, who knows how this election is? Jack can't afford that. And I would argue that everyone down the ticket has to get independents to come out strongly for them. Do you sense that when you go door to door and you talk to people?
Absolutely, I do. I don't talk just about myself. I talk about Jack as well because I believe in him. I see who he is. I see what he does. And I see how he stands behind what he believes in. And if he's willing to do that over and over again, you know he's somebody you can trust. You don't know what you have in Murphy. You know what you've got in Jack. He stands for our civil liberties. You know, we're in jeopardy of losing so much. And he continues to say it regardless of how Murphy puts him down for that. He maintains being a gentleman when he does it, and he doesn't play dirty. He's been in this, he's lived in New Jersey his whole life. He understands what New Jersey needs to come back. And I believe the people see that. I hear it. I hear it over and over again as I talk to people while I'm walking or going to events. I went to an event tonight. I left there to be on this phone call, and people there were roaring for him because he stood behind the children and the principles of having your civil liberties to make choice yourself, whether it be for medical rights or wearing a mask or protecting your children in education. And Jack stands for that, and I think that's going to be what pushes him over. I think he is going to make it. I believe in him.
And well, listen, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that Jack obviously has a lot of momentum right now, 18 days out. I saw his interview last night on Sean Hannity on Fox News. It was a few minutes, but, you know, he gave a very compelling argument about his campaign and getting hot right now. We'll see. I mean, I have sources all over New Jersey keep telling me that I get it, that, you know, Democrats feel that, you know, they feel optimism. You know, they feel the fact that, you know, a Democrat hasn't been a reelected governor since Brendan Byrne. That's a long time ago. That's before my time, you know, and that's a long time in politics. And Murphy, again, has history against them. You know, I don't go by polling. You know, a lot of these polling apparatuses at fairly ridiculous university or Monmouth or Rowan. I mean, these are all different polls. I don't like to look at them. I talk to people on the ground. I talk to operatives. I talk to people in different counties. And there's still, I think, a lot of disconnect with Murphy, even with strong, dedicated Democrats. They've not been happy with the COVID mandates. They've not been happy with what's going on with their schools. Haven't been happy with the spending, with some of these sort of like social justice programs. I mean, case in point, I mean, it's easy for LGBTQ, whatever the name is now, groups to have the ear of the legislature when they want to shove through legislation or curriculum in our public schools where, you know, kindergarten students should be learning about gender identity. No, they shouldn't. Guess what? There are more important things to use our money in our public schools than that. But for some reason, a lot of the leftist Democrats in the legislature, Patricia, think that, oh, this is pertinent. This is imperative. We have to, you know, forget about math and reading and writing and composition and penmanship. No, we have to make sure five-year-olds know about gender identity. It's madness. It really is madness with what the legislature has acquiesced to lately.
It absolutely is. And while we're talking about subjects, let's talk about history. Because if we don't continue to teach our children what has happened in the past, there's not a future because history repeats itself. It's so important for our children to know where they came from and how it occurred so that we can fix it and move forward. So without history, we have difficulties. Our children need to know what is behind them. We don't need to teach kindergartners about sexual education. That is a parent's choice of when they want to do it. And Jack stands true and firm behind that, and so do I. There's things that children need to know at certain points in time. And if a child wants to talk about something, even if they're in kindergarten, they can go to a teacher, and that teacher can take them to where they need to go to sit down and talk with them, whether it's with them or a guidance counselor or a principal. But not every child is prepared for something like that at this point in time in their life. I think that that is their children the way they want them to be, want them to be taught about sexual activity.
Patricia, I'm with you. I'm with you. And folks, if you're just joining us right now, it's 9:30 here on the East Coast on Block Talk Radio. It's my pleasure to have with me tonight a state assembly candidate out of the 15th legislative district down in Central Jersey. The great Patricia Johnson joins us here on Politically Direct. Patricia, I got to ask you, because I keep saying Central Jersey. Is that the right thing to say, or is it only North Jersey and South Jersey, or is there a Central Jersey?
No, it is Central Jersey. And it's crazy because my district is probably one of the toughest, if not the toughest, because we go from inner city to farmland. It makes it very, very difficult because I want to be there for the people. So you need to make sure that you're fighting for two different things. But I believe it can be done, and it hasn't been being done. We need to protect the farmers whose properties are in jeopardy. They're losing them because they're changing the amount of square footage that it takes to be a farm. I want to work with that, but I want to work with rebuilding our city. So it's going to be a tough district, but it surely hasn't been happening up until now. Our police officers need to be protected. I'm already put a bill into effect that I want to make into law to protect our police, fire, and EMS so that when they are off duty and in their own home and with their own friends that they have the freedom of speech, because it goes back to our civil rights again. Everybody has a right to speech. I agree that they can't do that while they're on the job or in a uniform, but when they're with friends or in their home, they have a right, and I want to put that into law. I've worked on other bills in the past, even before I was in the position that I'm in. I'm somebody that understands writing a bill, presenting a bill, and trying to have a bill put through. So I'm ready for this battle. I think it can be done.
Well, I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice for sure. Patricia, let me ask you this. We know that property taxes are the highest in the country. We know that's an issue that has to be addressed. Hopefully, if we see a different makeup in the legislature, those are sort of the obvious things. But when it comes to your district, and I know you just alluded to, I know you just referenced it a little bit about sort of how diverse it is, you know, geographically, whether it's urban and then it stretches out into farmland. Aside from those issues, which are very important, what else can you tell us about what you really want to focus on should you take office in January? Is it infrastructure, which I know you're kind of referenced right now? Is it about encouraging more small businesses to move into the district? Is affordable housing an issue that residents are talking about in that district? What would you say is probably like the first – what would the first 100 days look like for Patricia Johnson should you be in the State Assembly?
Some of the first things that I want to do is absolutely working on the school issues that we're having difficulties with and the health and medical situations that we're having difficulties with. I want to work with infrastructure and revamping our schools so our college kids can come back home. I'd like to see us have some programs that when the kids go off to school, if they come back and they work in New Jersey, then we will work at getting their college education paid for. Because we need our college kids to come home, not for us to send them away and then them go somewhere else. And that all brings back what we need to work on, which is our infrastructure. We need to bring entrepreneurship, business back. We're losing our businesses. We need to get it back. I want to work with trying to do bringing call centers back into the United States, and I want to use some of our inner cities to do that. And I want to do reentry programs with situations with that as well, because I believe there's so much that we have to offer and we just have to find a way to get it there. And that will help with bringing dollars back, keeping our elderly and our young here, and getting New Jersey back on the map of we make it. And that's what I want to do.
Those sound like great ideas, and especially along the helping the business community. I mean, listen, if you can get call centers back in here, that's great. It'll create jobs. It'll certainly be vibrant for the area, especially for your district, where, as you mentioned, it's so diverse, not just socioeconomically, but geographically as well. Patricia, how realistic do you think, again, should you be able to win on November 2nd and take office in January, how realistic is it for you and, let's say, other like-minded fiscal conservatives? And listen, what you're saying to me is right up my alley. I'm a staunch fiscal conservative. That's all I talk about. I'm a policy nerd. It's what I went to grad school for at Rutgers in Newark. I can talk policy all day. I can talk it to death. Now, speaking of policy, is it realistic maybe that if you can get enough like-minded legislators potentially like you to maybe repeal the gas tax? We know that supposedly it was created under the pretense of, well, we want to help it for infrastructure. don't know about you, roads still suck in New Jersey and various parts of the state. So I don't know what this gas tax is going for. And again, you know, at a national level, you know, we have a president who stopped domestic drilling, who wanted to cater to the eco warriors in his party, to all the climate hysterics. And now when we stop drilling domestically, we have to start relying on foreign oil. And of course, in the global marketplace. And again, I hate to sound like I'm teaching economics 101 here because I'm a professor, but I teach, you know, social sciences, but I feel like I have to kind of teach economics on this show to people to understand that, like, what happens nationally trickles down to the state level. And now, of course, you know, New Jersey already has high gas prices anyway. It only got worse with what's going on with oil. And then this gas tax, where I don't know about you, but up here by me in Hudson County, we're looking at an average of like $3.20, $3.25 for regular gasoline. This is absurd.
It is absurd. And I'll be honest, and because I don't want to talk about something that I can't say from the bottom of my heart that I know. And I know it's something that needs to be addressed. I can't give you an answer to that. I'll be more than happy to look into it. But I feel as if I gave you an answer, I'd just be saying something that I couldn't back up. And I don't want to do that. What I tell you are things that I know 100% that I know enough about that I can fight for it. I will fight for the gas, for the taxes, for what we do. And I will work on that. I will. And if you want to have me on again, I'll give you an answer the next time that I can be sure about. But I can't really be a good person on that tonight. I really can't.
No, and you know what? I appreciate that. That's transparency. That's refreshingly honest, and I appreciate that. Again, I have to ask questions because, you know, as potential legislators, these are things that always come up. Let's switch gears here to, again, the district. Not so much the state level, but specifically within the district. You're running for one of the two assembly seats. You're looking to differentiate yourself from the incumbents. But I'm assuming, like anybody else, Patricia, the reason you're running is you're not happy with your representation right now. You've been a first-class lady. I see the way you're running your campaign, so that's not even a doubt. But, you know, without sounding offensive or sounding, you know, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but it seems like the assembly women and men in that district and the state senator have been sitting on their hands for a very long time and nothing's getting done. What would you say is probably the legacy of the current incumbents right now in the 15th legislative district?
I think they sign their name to everything that's put in front of them that Murphy wants to do, and that's not what should happen. I spoke to a senior center the other day, and I assured them of two things, that I would fight for what they needed and wanted, and that I would not sign my name just to sign it, that if it's something that I truly believed was good for the people that I represent, my name would not go on it, whether I had to go against my own party or whether I had to fight it until my party agreed with me. But I believe that they have signed every single thing, and it shows that there's not a battle to be fought. Murphy is just getting what he wants, and it's not what's best for New Jersey, and we need to fight that.
It's unfortunate that it's happened. I mean, I don't want to be presumptuous and just say that regardless of what party is in the governor's mansion, that at times members of his party or her party have not acquiesced to him or her. I mean, I think it'd be crazy to say that because we've seen it, whether it was the days of Chris Christie,
right,
to Christy Whitman, to, you know, other governors. It seems like the party allegiance sometimes makes politics very tribal in New Jersey. How has it been going for you when it comes to registering new voters, getting the message out, not social media? I always like to sort of not always – social media is important, I get it, but it's the idea of knocking on doors, registering new voters. If you've had any town halls, what's been the feedback, honestly, Patricia? Have you been met with some resistance? Have people been warm to you? What's been, you know, if you had to give a grade, I mean, I grade for a living. So if you had to give a grade to what the response has been for you as you've been going in this campaign, how would you quantify it?
I have to tell you, I am absolutely thrilled, and I'll tell you why. One of the first things I say to people is that I came into politics never being experienced in the field. because I wanted to make a change, and I felt that we needed real people to help to be to get the points across and to listen and to know what the people wanted. I wanted to be their voice. And we hear that all the time, but I'm not sure for me that's 100% an honest statement. And it's funny because I've gone up to door to knock on doors, and I had my campaign manager with me, and we went out to get our first votes. And when we did, more than half of the votes that we got that I needed for signatures so that I could run were Democrats that changed to Republicans, or independents that changed to Republican. I went to the nursing home the other day, or to the senior center the other day. I had two Republicans that said, we haven't vote. I mean, two Democrats that said to me, we haven't voted Republican in a long time, but we're going to vote for you. That, I hear it. I know. People want real people that they can trust, and I think I resonate to them for that reason. I am somebody that understands what they want and what they need, and I'm ready to fight for it. And I don't always say it properly, and I'm not 100% right, but I say it from my heart, and they feel it. I'm here to make a change, and I have people that are wanting to work with me. And I've had my own legislators that are now saying, you know, they see that it's something that I really want, and they're backing me. They're helping me to get where I need to get. And that's what we need to do as Republicans in the state of New Jersey. We need to be a team. We need to work together. We need to fight for the things that we believe in and we see. And I believe with people saying that and over again, we're going to do what the people need. I see it happening. And I know it's something that's why I'm here. That is why I'm here, and I'm getting people from both sides saying that they believe in me. So it's not a battle, probably the biggest battle. As I say, it's been 28 years, but I believe that I can make it happen. And if it's not this year, I'm not going to give up. I'm coming back. I am coming back. I will not give up.
That's a great attitude, Patricia, to say the very least. And I think it's a healthy way to look at campaigning. When we talk about, you know, this election cycle, let's be honest. I think it's a prime opportunity for Republican candidates, whether it be legislative or at the municipal level, and of course, you know, gubernatorial, of course, to try to steal this, because, you know, or get some upsets, because I see it all over the state. There are a lot of people who've been lifelong Democrats that are saying, wait a minute, what's going on? Spending is up. Taxes are up. We're seeing this ridiculous curriculum being pushed in our public schools. We're seeing this sort of anti-police rhetoric by some legislators where, you know, last summer, you know, you couldn't find a legislator that couldn't shut up about, well, we need to defund the police. We need to do this and that. Mind you, it's kind of funny coming from legislators who have police protection whenever they want it. But for regular citizens, not so much. So I always found that talking out of both sides of your mouth by a lot of liberals and progressives in Trenton to be, you know, typical of them, because they're always talking out of both sides of the mouth. So it's very interesting when I hear people talking to me like, yeah, I voted Democrat for a long time, but like, you know what, I'm going to give this candidate a chance because, hey, what do I have to lose? I mean, these incumbents have been here 10, 20, 30, in some cases more than 30 years. I mean, I interviewed Charlie Cradiville, who's the editor of New Brunswick Today, a very viable news site in Central Jersey, right in New Brunswick, the home of my alma mater, Rutgers University. And he keeps telling me about the incumbents there who are legislative candidates. You know, you have a state senator who's been there for 35 years. That's crazy. That's a monopoly. That's a stranglehold on a district that, quite frankly, you know, you look at New Brunswick, you know, Patricia, it's a dump. And I love New Brunswick. I'm a Rutgers alumnus. I'm a fanatic. But it's a dump. You look at Trenton. I keep saying it all the time. Isn't it funny when you look at a lot of these city urban areas in New Jersey, up here by me in Jersey City, nearby Patterson, Newark, Elizabeth, Trenton, Camden, Atlantic City. They've been run by Democrats or far left people maybe longer than I've been alive, and they're still dumps. But when you say that out loud, like I do, oh, Fernando's a racist. Fernando's an elitist. I'm not any of those things. I'm just telling you what my eyes tell me, Patricia.
You know, it's funny. 2 weeks ago, I was in Trenton with a group, and we were cleaning one of the park type, just to get it cleaned up so that the kids could go in it and they didn't have to worry. And we were I was talking door to door to some of the people there, and one of the houses was run down and nobody was in it and it looked awful. And I didn't know that the man that drove down the road that stopped to talk to me owned that home. So as he asked what we were doing, and I said we were trying to clean up the area so that the kids didn't have to worry. And I mentioned the house, and he said it was his. And I said, oh, my God, we were just talking about that. And I said to him, you know what, do you know of any grants that are available to you? Can we help you find something so that we can get that fixed back up and maybe you can start to rent it and you can use it? You know, we need people that are presenting these type of situations to the people that live there or own those properties so that we can rebuild it and get it fixed. He was so excited. He said to me, I want to vote for you. I mean, after he spent 10 minutes with me and we talked, he said, you said more to me that made sense than anybody I've talked to. His son is a police officer. He's on dialysis. He's struggling. I was a nurse. I was able to talk to him about what was going on with his life. And you know what? I believe we just need to talk to the people. We need to find out what people need, and then we need to work on the situations that they need help with. It takes time. It does take time. And it takes people, and we have those people. So we just need to work together as groups, and we need to be willing to do the work. We're not there just to collect a dollar. When I decided to run, this is how naive I was. I didn't even know I got paid. I thought it was a volunteer job. I found out that I got paid, and I was totally amazed. I said, oh, that just makes it better. But it's not. I'm not there for the money. I'm there for the principle of trying to help New Jersey get back on its feet. And I want the people to be able to know that there's somebody there supporting them and that there's somebody that they can pick up the phone and call, that can take their call and they can get an answer. Look at motor vehicles. We've talked about this. People were getting tickets because they had expired registrations, but they couldn't get to motor vehicles to get the registration done. So how is that? These are the situations that go on every single day that people are dealing with, and it's frustration. And these are the things that I want to help fix.
Absolutely, Patricia. I mean, again, you're a breath of fresh air in terms of how proactive you're being in the district, talking to families, talking to homeowners. And folks, if you're just joining us right now, it's 9:47 on the East Coast. We're about to wrap up shortly with State Assembly candidate in the 15th Legislative District, Patricia Johnson, joining us here tonight on Politically Direct. You can check out her website at www.patjohnson4nj.com. That's Pat Johnson, the number 4nj.com. Make sure you like the page on Facebook. And, of course, once you go on there, you can check out. And, by the way, folks, I mean, on that main page, there's a red tab. So for a lot of you that are getting back to work, you're either catching the train, you're either driving to work, whatever, and you stop by, I don't know. I mean, down by you, Patricia, it's probably a Wawa, as opposed to up here by me where it's a Quick Check or 7-Eleven. So when you're going to work, ladies and gentlemen, and you're looking to get your morning coffee or maybe a bagel or some breakfast sandwich, do me a favor. Instead of doing that every day for these next 19 days, do me a favor. Maybe take a break from that, and the money you're saving to not buy that extra large coffee that maybe you need to have every morning, do me a favor, folks. Click on the donate button on her website, and every dollar helps when it comes to helping legislative candidates during this very tough election season. So click on there. Click the donate button, and of course, you know it's going to a very reputable candidate in the 15th Legislative District. Again, the great Patricia Johnson, joining us here on the podcast. So donate today, folks. Patricia Johnson needs every bit of your help here as Election Day is coming in 19 days. Patricia, when I look at, you know, and we're about to wrap up here shortly, but when we look at the state of New Jersey, and more so the state of the Republican Party. I've been as harsh a critic on Democrats because they're the ones running the legislature and they don't understand economics. They don't understand science, even though they claim to, right? You know, they think they know biology, but they don't. When they think there's 25 genders in Trenton, there aren't. When they think they understand economics, they don't. They spend like drunken sailors. Nothing against sailors. They're admirable men and women in the Navy, but come on. It's embarrassing. I've also been equally tough on the state Republican Party. I think that for many, many months now, whether it's the current chair or the previous chair, I think the Republican Party on a state level has dropped the ball a lot. And I'm not going to put you in a bad spot here and ask you to bash them. You know, you're too much of a classy lady to do that. But I have to be intellectually honest. I think that the state Republican Party, I don't think is mobilized enough. I don't think that they've conveyed a very good message. I mean, it's not just enough to say, yeah, property taxes are high. Yeah, there's too much spending. Oh, really? Wow, water, wet. We get it. Give us answers. Give us policy prescriptions. You're doing that. You're a candidate. You're doing that. But as a state party, I feel they're not getting the message out enough about, hey, here's a policy prescription, and this is how we're going to help mobilize new voters. I don't think they've been doing that. Am I wrong in my perception?
I think we're reforming to that. I think that we have left that somewhat open, and I think that as a team, we're learning to do that better and better. And I'm not going against my team. I'm going to say I'm going to work with my team to assure that we do those things. I see that it needs to be done. I see we need to work together, and I believe that we can come out stronger and better. And I'd like to end this with one thing, if you don't mind, because this is really important to me. Just before COVID, before I was had made the decision to run, we were going through a difficult time. Everybody knows that, and there was no mask to be found. And I formed a team of approximately 42 men and women that we I donated $1,000. We bought fabric. We made over 7,000 face masks that we donated all over the state of New Jersey to every hospital, the state police, Trenton Police, Homeland Security, the soup kitchen downtown. We made a great contribution of masks that we worked from one mask to the other with contributions that came in. This was all done for free. I'd like to say this. Murphy called me up, and he thanked me, and I have it on my phone. He thanked me for all the work that I put in and the contributions that I gave to the state of New Jersey and the people in New Jersey. I had two or three Democrats, which I have letters from, thanking me for the hard work and my dedication. I got a Heroes Award for that. I'd like to say if the Democrats can love me, then they can vote for me. They need to know that I'm not just here for the Republicans. I'm here for the people in New Jersey. So I really want to put that out there. I'm ready to change things.
Oh, I can tell you are, and I'm rooting for you, Patricia. You are a stand-up, classy, smart, quick on your feet, woman who is, I would argue, would be an asset to the state legislature. Before I let you go here, number one, I want to thank you for your time. You've been great. I know you've been very busy. I'm sure you want to get back to the event you were just at, so I want to let you do that and keep talking to potential voters. But again, I want to thank you for your time. Please tell everybody you know how much you're a fan of Politically Direct with Fernando Uribe, the Insider NJ, and certainly we'll have you back on soon, sort of to catch up with you and see what happened on November the 2nd. We're hoping it's a win for you. We need more fiscal responsibility in Trenton. When I hear you talk the way you're talking, it's music to my ears. So I want to wish you the best of luck. I hope you can pull it out because it's a tough race, but you seem like a tough lady, so you're up to the challenge. So again, I want to thank you for your time. I'll give you the last word here.
I want to thank you because it's because of people like you that give us a voice when we don't have the dollars to spend to buy it. You gave me a voice tonight, and I so appreciate that opportunity that you gave me, and people need to respect that and continue to listen to you because it's a way for them to know that they're that other people are being hurt that cannot afford the commercials or the way to get it themselves. So thank you so, so much for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, God bless you, and thank you for the kind words. Ladies and gentlemen, she is Patricia Johnson, State Assembly candidate in the 15th Legislative District down in Central Jersey. We'll see what awaits her on November the 2nd. Hopefully she's putting her hand on a Bible coming up in January when the legislature resumes a session. So we're watching this race. We're pulling for you. Patricia, best of luck to you. Folks, again, check out www.patjohnson4nj.com. That's patjohnson, the number 4, nj.com. Patricia, get back to that party. Get back to your guests. Register some people. Get them to vote for you. And best of luck to you on Election Day. And thank you for joining us on Politically Direct.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Folks, what
you
a great
too.
Show here tonight. Thank you so much, Patricia. Folks, thank you. You know, great episode tonight with Patricia Johnson, legislative candidate in the 15th Legislative District in Central Jersey. Great job by her coming on the program tonight and really breaking down her campaign, folks, in the 15th Legislative District. It's a very, very interesting district, as she alluded to. It's has some urban areas for sure, and then it becomes very rural very quickly. So that's always a challenge, going door-to-door, talking to residents, talking to constituents, and getting a sense of, you know, what can be done better there. And we're looking at incumbents in that district that have been there forever. And, you know, I hate to use the word do-nothing Democrats, but it sounds like that's what's going on there in the 15th Legislative District. So if I'm wrong, if anyone listening out there tonight, if I'm wrong and you don't like that label, you think it's offensive or inflammatory, you know, what else is new? I mean, it seems like every week I say something inflammatory or offensive to somebody. If I'm wrong and that title doesn't pertain to the incumbents there in the 15th Legislative District, then write to me. Again, tell me where I'm wrong, you know? I mean, it's that simple, folks. You know, I like to hear new ideas. I like to hear people disagree with me. But give me some facts. Give me and tell me where I'm wrong in my perception or my analysis here. Sounds like I'm not. So, again, great job there by Patricia Johnson, running for the State Assembly in the 15th Legislative District. So I want to wish her luck and certainly hope she pulls it off, folks. We need more fiscal conservatives in Trenton. It's that simple. You know, we got people in the legislature that don't know anything about economics. They don't know anything about science. They think they do, but they don't. And, you know, for whatever reason, you got some legislators in Trenton that, you know, apparently didn't pass high school biology. I mean, newsflash, there's only two genders, folks. It's not 25, okay? Maybe you didn't pass, I don't know, science, or maybe you didn't take a climatology course. I mean, folks, Aquaman's not coming to your front door, folks. We're not going to be underwater anytime soon, okay? I know we've had some natural disasters. We've had hard rainfall, and I get it. There's been excessive flooding and loss of life. But the idea that, you know, we're going to be underwater like Atlantis is just something I'm not going to subscribe to. I'm not going to listen to these climate hysterics and these eco-warriors that seem to have the ear of the legislature. I'm not going to do that. And also, more than anything, just fiscal responsibility. We're not seeing that in Trenton. You can hear it in Patricia's voice tonight. You can hear that she believes in fiscal policies are going to work for New Jerseyans. Folks, you got to root for that. It's that simple. You know, you got to root for someone that knows and understands why it's important that New Jersey's going bankrupt probably soon because people don't understand economics in the state legislature. So we're pulling for her. Let's see if she can get that win on November the 2nd. Folks, that's our show for this week. If you have any suggestions for guests or topics, write to me, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. I do answer my emails promptly. And, of course, I will get back to you with any suggestions or any feedback. Again, if you have not heard a topic or a guest that I have not interviewed or discussed yet and you want to hear about it, write to me once again, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, ladies and gentlemen, at Professor Fernando Uribe. That's URIBE. Also, hit me up on Twitter, at NoFilterUribe. That's URIBE. Tons of new followers, folks. Plenty of likes. People enjoy my Instagram stories. They're funny. They're witty. They're thought-provoking. They're intellectual. They're insightful. That's me, folks, Fernando Uribe. Folks, so again, don't forget to like Political Direct on Facebook. And, of course, check out the perennial news source and the number one news source in New Jersey, folks, for politics and everything else. It's Insider NJ at www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to like Insider NJ on Facebook and, of course, follow it on Twitter. You'll see the subscribe button. Once you click on it, you'll be automatically enrolled in the Morning Intelligence Briefing. And whether it is our great columnists, such as editor Max Pizarro, again, I'm not really a fan of his political IQ. He doesn't really have much of one, but he's a great writer. You definitely should read his columns. They're very interesting. As well as Jay Lasseter, you know, little JJ, you know, again, testosterone. Guys don't like each other. What else is new? But he's a great writer. I'll give him his due. But also, folks, we got Fred Snellflack, a great guy who actually I love having on this show. I love talking to him. We'll be having him on later this month in October, as well as Alan Steinberg, ladies and gentlemen, former cabinet member in the George W. Bush administration at the EPA, and certainly a guy who is not shy about expressing his opinions, especially in his columns. You definitely want to check it out. Folks, I'm so proud to be a part of the Insider NJ team. It's a great group of guys and gals, too, who contribute to the best news source in the state of New Jersey, folks. It's always Insider NJ. Once again, www.insidernj.com. That's InsiderNJ.com. Don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. And always, ladies and gentlemen, you can check out previous episodes of the four-time award-winning Politically Direct at the website, www.insidernj.com/podcast. Tell you, it's not just because of the awards. They matter, of course. But, folks, it's about the quality of the guests and the quality of the conversations you hear each and every week here on the podcast, whether it's interviewing candidates, legislators, activists, whoever it may be, folks. I don't pull any punches, and I speak my mind, and I make sure my guests speak their mind as well here every week on the podcast. Once again, folks, check out the archives, www.insidernj.com/podcast. What can you say, ladies and gentlemen? Always remember, if it's unbiased, unfiltered, and unafraid, you know it's always the four-time award-winning Politically Direct with yours truly. Yes, folks, I am New Jersey's premier journalist and the sworn enemy of all the local liberals, toxic progressives, social justice clowns, and the woke fools all throughout the state of New Jersey. I keep them all in check. That's right, it's me, Fernando Uribe. Thanks so long, folks. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week here on Blog Talk Radio. And as always, let's keep on talking.